Hello Shamai, sorry I haven't done a podcast in a while, I hope you forgive me. I did take a short break and I went to the Nordic countries of Gothenburg and Norway last week, which I'll tell you a bit more about later. But firstly, I'd just like to thank you all for your comments on my podcast that I did on depression. I've had some really good comments and some feedback. And of course, I'll be speaking more about mental health here in the future. It's something that's really close to my heart. And if you know anybody who's gone through, who suffers from mental health, or who wants to speak to me on this podcast openly and frankly about your experiences, then please do get in touch and we can facilitate that. I'm hopeful that we can expand this podcast and allow for more interaction as time goes by. But today I just wanted to speak briefly about my experiences in Norway and Sweden. I do love to travel generally, but I have got a mild obsession, I would say, with the Nordic countries. If you know me well, you'll know that I watch quite a lot of Nordic Noir, which is crime drama made and centred in many of the Nordic countries, such as Denmark, Iceland, Finland, and so forth. And I've also read quite a lot of the novels by many of these authors, Anne Holt being my favourite author, I should say. She's a former government minister, actually, in the Norwegian Parliament, and if you haven't read her novels, please do so. So I've been to many of the countries before. I went to Malmö quite a few years ago now. Basically, if you've watched the series The Bridge, you will know that there was a murder on said bridge, which was on the border between the bridges crossing over from Malmö in Sweden to Copenhagen in Denmark, and the murder is on the middle of that bridge on the border. So then both police authorities get involved in trying to solve this crime. So me and my friend went over on the bridge on the train to see what it was all about and to experience what we'd seen. What, obviously not experience the murder, but to see what we'd seen on screen in terms of the filming locations. And I was obsessed with trying to find the police station in Malmö because I loved the characters so much. But then realised pretty soon that probably the police station didn't exist and that it was a set, or that it was an entirely different building altogether. So I didn't find the police station, but I found a police car to take a picture of as some form of memento. So that's the level of my interest in Nordic crime drama. I also used to attend the Nordicana film festivals in London, which sadly were cancelled for reasons I don't know, where they would showcase many of the series or many of the productions that we're watching now, and they would get some of the actors over to tell us about their experiences, some of the authors of the productions as well, and I found it was really rewarding, but sadly are no more. So that's the level of my obsession, so I make no apologies for going to Norway and to Sweden for my holiday. So we landed in Gothenburg and we stayed a few days in a village outside of Gothenburg, about an hour away, in a little hut at the bottom of someone's garden, which is fully furnished and fully heated, and it was really cute actually, and it was nice. We went shopping in the market in Gothenburg for food for the time that we were there. We were given bikes by the owner to cycle to the bus stop where we could get a bus into Gothenburg, and then we took a boat tour to the archipelagos of Gothenburg, and we were told about the different languages they speak. I think it's a mixture of Norwegian, Danish and Swedish, and people from Gothenburg itself find it quite hard to understand. They're very pretty islands. On many of them you can't actually take motorised vehicles, you have to cycle or to walk, and then on others you get these type of golf buggy type situations where traders or fishermen can fishermen and women can use around the islands. They're postcard picture perfect islands, you know, these little red houses with white rims and very sedate, very picturesque, and it was interesting to go and visit them and to see how people live. Many of them use them as holiday homes in the summer, but others would live there all year round and spend their lives and livelihoods living on the islands. So I was pleased that we did that tour. Then we went to Oslo on the bus the following day. We were going to go to Stockholm, But it cost £500 to go to Stockholm on the bus, so we didn't opt for that. So, I mean, as amazing as the transport system is in the Nordic countries, it was a pretty steep price to pay for travelling, so we decided on Oslo instead. I had been there before, but I obviously wanted to share that experience with my husband, as he hasn't been to any of the Nordic countries before, and I wanted to tell him all about why I enjoyed it so much. And we went down to the seafront area, which wasn't as developed actually when I was there last time, and there are lessons there for Cardiff Bay on how to do things well. Lots of new restaurants, lots of people on motorised electric scooters travelling around, lots of families sharing experiences together, and they were organising to start a Mela festival, so a multi-ethnic festival the next day. So unfortunately we missed that, but we did catch the end of Oslo Jazz Festival, and we saw a Norwegian band, and we also saw a band from Scotland play in one of the pubs, which were free access to everybody to hear the live music. So we were really privileged to get to listen to some of the jazz bands on display. We also went to an Indian restaurant called New Delhi. We tend to need to have Indian food wherever we go, not every night, but some nights. As I've already said on some of these podcasts, if you've listened to me already, you'll know I have a mild obsession with chili now and need to get my chili hit. So we went to the New Delhi restaurant, which is absolutely amazing. If you ever go to Oslo, please check it out. And then we, the next day, took a boat over to the museums area. That's where they do things. All the museums are in one area. I'd been to the Viking Museum before, so this time we went to the Kon-Tiki Museum, whereby Thor Heyerdahl is one of history's most famous explorers, and in 1947 he crossed the Pacific on the Balsward raft Kon-Tiki, and he then was captured on a film as part of this exploration, and it won an Academy Award, which I really want to see now that I've been there. And he's taken part in other similar explorations when he made a reed boat, and he got involved in lots of environmental and climate change activities as a result of these trips, because of the fact that he would see oil leaks or sea pollution along these explorations, take pictures of them, and then make reports to the United Nations or to whatever facility he thought appropriate, so that they could make changes. So he was a really inspirational man, which I didn't really know much about actually before I went there, and it was really good to learn about him. Then we potted over to the Parliament in Oslo. The last time I was there, it was covered in scaffolding. Clearly they were making remedial works to it, and I was a bit sad to see that I couldn't experience it. So this time it was beautiful, actually, a really beautiful building in the centre of Oslo. But the only unfortunate thing is you can't go in as a member of the public. There are no public tours until mid-September, which I have to say is pretty bad, considering that they must know that tourists would want to see that. At least anorak political tourists like me would like to go and look around their parliament, which is something that we do well in Wales. The Senedd has those guided tours for free all year round, most days of the week, so we should commend ourselves for that. So unfortunately I didn't get to see inside the parliament, but I did get to speak to some of the political parties, because they all had stalls outside parliament because there's a municipal election happening there soon. And so I spoke to one of the socialist parties there, who was telling me actually there's quite a lot of a rise in the far right in Norway. Unfortunately, there has been an attack on a mosque recently, and that's been well publicised. And my husband met his friend who lives there, who was from India originally, and said that he was concerned that there was a rise in far right activity. So it's an issue for countries across Europe, where we're seeing this hostility to diversity and to immigration. And Gothenburg and Oslo are quite high in terms of their immigration intake, and so we'll be vulnerable to that, I think. And I would urge any politician of any colour to be combating this, and hopefully, you know, if I do go back, I can see how we can learn and how we can interact with each other on these particular issues. we went back to Gothenburg then after a few days in Oslo. We went to see a few of the museums and the arts foundations there. We went to the Hasselblad Foundation, for example. That is a famous camera that was taken on the first moon landing. So there was various displays about that and about the first women on the moon. And there was a pretty creative display about the fact that they were, this one artist was trying to ensure that geese got to the moon, and so there was a video about how she was training a geese to be able to go to the moon, which was pretty funny. And then on the second level of that particular art gallery, there was quite a lot of modern art, and you know, I listened to the audio interpretation because I found that quite useful to understand where the artists were coming from when they were making this political art. So I really enjoyed that. I'd say that if you were going to go to Gothenburg, go there for a few days. It's pretty compact. You can get around it quite easily. Make sure that you've got some other places that you can visit along that trip, be it Oslo as we did, or even as I've done in the past, you can go to the fjords. The scenery and the landscape of Norway is absolutely breathtaking and you won't regret it. I know some friends of mine have done a cruise around Norway in the last few weeks. I'm not sure a cruise is for me, but each to their own, and if you want to travel in the way that suits you. I mean, I personally love to travel because I feel that it widens your horizons. You can learn from others, you can take ideas back, you can use them in policy here. You'll meet people that you'll never otherwise meet, and I feel it makes you better human beings. Of course, I know that it's something that I'm privileged to be able to do, and I don't take that lightly. I travelled around the Nordic countries and Russia a few years ago on a bus tour, and I met some people that I will call lifelong friends now. So I love it for that reason, and I think that it's something that whenever I go abroad, I feel closer to Wales because I feel that it's something. When I go abroad, I can see how possible it is to become such a confident and vibrant nation if we only put the effort into doing so. We can achieve, we can do it for ourselves if we want to. It's just being able to see that that is possible. And when you go to different countries, smaller countries than ours, who are independent, you can see the success in what they do and know that it's possible for Wales. So if travelling can do that for me and for others, then it's entirely worth it. So if you'd like me to talk about any of the other places that I've been, or if you'd like to chat to me about your own travel experiences, then fire away. And any ideas for any other podcasts in the future, let me know. I'm back and I'm here to talk to you about different topics. So have a nice day. Hello Shamai, sorry I haven't done a podcast in a while, I hope you forgive me. I did take a short break and I went to the Nordic countries of Gothenburg and Norway last week, which I'll tell you a bit more about later. But firstly, I'd just like to thank you all for your comments on my podcast that I did on depression. I've had some really good comments and some feedback, and of course I'll be speaking more about mental health here in the future. It's something that's really close to my heart, and if you know anybody who's gone through who suffers from mental health, or who wants to speak to me on this podcast openly and frankly about your experiences, then please do get in touch and we can facilitate that. I'm hopeful that we can expand this podcast and allow for more interaction as time goes by. But today I just wanted to speak briefly about my experiences in Norway and Sweden. I do love to travel generally, but I have got a mild obsession, I would say, with the Nordic countries. If you know me well, you'll know that I watch quite a lot of Nordic Noir, which is crime drama made and centred in many of the Nordic countries, such as Denmark, Iceland, Finland, and so forth. And I've also read quite a lot of the novels by many of these authors, Anne Holt being my favourite author, I should say. She's a former government minister, actually, in the Norwegian Parliament, and if you haven't read her novels, please do so. So I've been to many of the countries before. I went to Malmö quite a few years ago now. Basically, if you've watched the series The Bridge, you will know that there was a murder on said bridge, which was on the border between the bridges crossing over from Malmö in Sweden to Copenhagen in Denmark, and the murder is on that, on the middle of that bridge on the border. So then both police authorities get involved in trying to solve this crime. So me and my friend went over on the bridge on the train to see what it was all about and to experience what we'd seen. What, obviously not experience the murder, but to see what we'd seen on screen in terms of the filming locations. And I was obsessed with trying to find the police station in Malmö because I loved the characters so much. But then realised pretty soon that probably the police station didn't exist and that it was a set, or that it was an entirely different building altogether. So I didn't find the police station, but I found a police car to take a picture of as some form of memento. So that's the level of my interest in Nordic crime drama. I also used to attend the Nordicana film festivals in London, which sadly were cancelled for reasons I don't know, where they would showcase many of the series or many of the productions that we're watching now, and they would get some of the actors over to tell us about their experiences, some of the authors of the productions as well, and I found it was really rewarding, but sadly are no more. So that's the level of my obsession, so I make no apologies for going to Norway and to Sweden for my holiday. So we landed in Gothenburg and we stayed a few days in a village outside of Gothenburg, about an hour away, in a little hut at the bottom of someone's garden, which is fully furnished and fully heated, and it was really cute actually, and it was nice. We went shopping in the market in Gothenburg for food for the time that we were there. We were given bikes by the owner to cycle to the bus stop where we could get a bus into Gothenburg, and then we took a boat tour to the archipelagos of Gothenburg, and we were told about the different languages they speak. I think it's a mixture of Norwegian, Danish and Swedish, and people from Gothenburg itself find it quite hard to understand. They're very pretty islands. On many of them you can't actually take motorised vehicles, you have to cycle or to walk, and then on others you get these type of golf buggy type situations where traders or fishermen can fishermen and women can use around the islands. They're postcard picture perfect islands, you know, these little red houses with white rims and very sedate, very picturesque, and it was interesting to go and visit them and to see how people live. Many of them use them as holiday homes in the summer, but others would live there all year round and spend their lives and livelihoods living on the islands. So I was pleased that we did that tour. Then we went to Oslo on the bus the following day. We were going to go to Stockholm, but it cost £500 to go to Stockholm on the bus, so we didn't opt for that. So, I mean, as amazing as the transport system is in the Nordic countries, it was a pretty steep price to pay for travelling, so we decided on Oslo instead. I had been there before, but I obviously wanted to share that experience with my husband, as he hasn't been to any of the Nordic countries before, and I wanted to tell him all about why I enjoyed it so much. And we went down to the seafront area, which wasn't as developed actually when I was there last time, and there are lessons there for Cardiff Bay on how to do things well. Lots of new restaurants, lots of people on motorised electric scooters travelling around, lots of families sharing experiences together, and they were organising to start a Mela festival, so a multi-ethnic festival the next day. So unfortunately we missed that, but we did catch the end of Oslo Jazz Festival, and we saw a Norwegian band, and we also saw a band from Scotland play in one of the pubs, which were free access to everybody to hear live music. So we were really privileged to get to listen to some of the jazz bands on display. We also went to an Indian restaurant called New Delhi. We tend to need to have Indian food wherever we go, not every night, but some nights. As I've already said on some of these podcasts, if you've listened to me already, you'll know I have a mild obsession with chili now and need to get my chili hit. So we went to the New Delhi restaurant, which is absolutely amazing. If you ever go to Oslo, please check it out. And then we, the next day, took a boat over to the museums area. That's where they do things. All the museums are in one area. I'd been to the Viking Museum before, so this time we went to the Kon-Tiki Museum, whereby Thor Heyerdahl is one of history's most famous explorers, and in 1947 he crossed the Pacific on the Balswood raft Kon-Tiki, and he then was captured on a film as part of this exploration, and it won an Academy Award, which I really want to see now that I've been there. And he's taken part in other similar explorations when he made a reed boat, and he got involved in lots of environmental and climate change activities as a result of these trips, because of the fact that he would see oil leaks or sea pollution along these explorations, take pictures of them, and then make reports to the United Nations or to whatever facility he thought appropriate so that they could make changes. So he was a really inspirational man, which I didn't really know much about actually before I went there, and it was really good to learn about him. Then we potted over to the Parliament in Oslo. The last time I was there, it was covered in scaffolding. Clearly they were making remedial works to it, and I was a bit sad to see that I couldn't experience it. So this time it was beautiful, actually, a really beautiful building in the centre of Oslo. But the only unfortunate thing is you can't go in as a member of the public. There are no public tours until mid-September, which I have to say is pretty bad, considering that they must know that tourists would want to see that. At least anorak political tourists like me would like to go and look around their parliament, which is something that we do well in Wales. The Senedd has those guided tours for free all year round, most days of the week, so we should commend ourselves for that. So unfortunately I didn't get to see inside the parliament, but I did get to speak to some of the political parties, because they all had stalls outside parliament because there's a municipal election happening there soon. And so I spoke to one of the socialist parties there, who was telling me actually there's quite a lot of a rise in the far right in Norway. Unfortunately, there has been an attack on a mosque recently, and that's been well publicised. And my husband met his friend who lives there, who was from India originally, and said that he was concerned that there was a rise in far right activity. So it's an issue for countries across Europe, where we're seeing this hostility to diversity and to immigration. And Gothenburg and Oslo are quite high in terms of their immigration intake, and so we'll be vulnerable to that, I think. And I would urge any politician of any colour to be combating this, and hopefully, you know, if I do go back, I can see how we can learn and how we can interact with each other on these particular issues. We went back to Gothenburg then after a few days in Oslo. We went to see a few of the museums and the arts foundations there. We went to the Hasselblad Foundation, for example. That is a famous camera that was taken on the first moon landing. So there was various displays about that and about the first women on the moon. And there was a pretty creative display about the fact that this one artist was trying to ensure that geese got to the moon, and so there was a video about how she was training a geese to be able to go to the moon, which was pretty funny. And then on the second level of that particular art gallery, there was quite a lot of modern art, and you know, I listened to the audio interpretation because I found that quite useful to understand where the artists were coming from when they were making this political art. So I really enjoyed that. I'd say that if you were going to go to Gothenburg, go there for a few days. It's pretty compact. You can get around it quite easily. Make sure that you've got some other places that you can visit along that trip, be it Oslo as we did, or even as I've done in the past, you can go to the fjords. The scenery and the landscape of Norway is absolutely breathtaking and you won't regret it. I know some friends of mine have done a cruise around Norway in the last few weeks. I'm not sure a cruise is for me, but each to their own, and if you want to travel in the way that suits you. I mean, I personally love to travel because I feel that it widens your horizons. You can learn from others, you can take ideas back, you can use them in policy here. You'll meet people that you'll never otherwise meet, and I feel it makes you better human beings. Of course, I know that it's something that I'm privileged to be able to do, and I don't take that lightly. I travelled around the Nordic countries and Russia a few years ago on a bus tour, and I met some people that I will call lifelong friends now. So I love it for that reason, and I think that it's something that whenever I go abroad, I feel closer to Wales because I feel that it's something. When I go abroad, I can see how possible it is to become such a confident and vibrant nation if we only put the effort into doing so. We can achieve, we can do it for ourselves if we want to. It's just being able to see that that is possible. And when you go to different countries, smaller countries than ours who are independent, you can see the success in what they do and know that it's possible for Wales. So if travelling can do that for me and for others, then it's entirely worth it. So if you'd like me to talk about any of the other places that I've been, or if you'd like to chat to me about your own travel experiences, then fire away. And any ideas for any other podcasts in the future, let me know. I'm back and I'm here to talk to you about different topics. So have a nice day.